learned, he said, to commit them to faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. And that's what I'm doing this morning. That's what I've been doing for the past few weeks. That's what I do every Sunday, anytime I teach or preach. So nothing, you know, this is not like, you know, original things that I'm some great scholar that I've searched and searched and searched and I've found these things. I'm spoiled rotten, as are you. And we've been given the truth for so many years. I've been given the truth. I've been not even spoon-fed, more like shovel-fed, like a snow shovel, like a tractor scoop of truth. I've been given that stuff for the past 20 years of my life. So now the Lord's taught me some things, and there's been some things that God's taught me that nobody else taught me. And then I found out later on that so-and-so believed the same thing, and I found out later that so-and-so believed this same thing, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. And I was like, oh, well, you know, like the King James Bible. I knew the King James Bible was the Word of God before anybody ever told me that. And that's just something that, you know, the Holy Spirit teaches you things. And as you're reading through Scripture, you know, you'll be reading something and think, wow, I never saw that. And then you'll start running different references, and then you'll put it all together, and then you'll look at, you know, like, you know, Pastor's Bible, and you'll look at one of his notes, and you're like, oh, well, he already knew that, you know. And that's great that, you know, the Holy Spirit teaches you things. But... you know, the stuff that I'm giving you here, this is not because I'm some kind of a scholar. You know, this chart and the stuff that I've been giving you, that's all stuff that I've plagiarized. It's stuff that I got from other people, and I added a few little things to it of my own to make it make sense to me. You know, the Lord gives me things, and I try to give it to you the same way that He gave it to me because it made sense to me. And the stuff that I've been given over the past 20 years, it just made sense. And that's the same thing that I'm doing this morning. You know, there's some things that I've put in this lesson that, you know, are things that are mine or just, you know, something that, you know, the Lord kind of gave me as I was studying. But, guys, the information's out there, and you can find it just as easy as I can. And you don't have to be a scholar to find it. It's easy. It's easy, you know. Pick up a book and read. I hate reading. Anybody else in here hate reading a book? Oh, it's just... you're a school teacher. You can't despise reading books. I hate reading books. But if you apply yourself and you discipline yourself and you tell the Lord that, Lord, I hate reading this book, but I'm going to do it, and ask Him to give you something, and He'll give you something. So in dealing with all this, you know, this manuscript evidence and textual criticism and stuff that we've been dealing with for the past couple of weeks, and things of that sort, it's really interesting to learn that stuff, and it's really neat to be able to learn where the Bible comes from. It is, really is. The first time I learned that, I mean, it was just like, pfft, I mean, my head just blew up, and I said, wow, I never knew that stuff, you know. And that's all neat to find that stuff out, and it's interesting to learn about the people who translated the Bible. It's interesting to learn about the people who've corrupted the Bible, and it's interesting to learn about the people that have copied out copy after copy after copy over thousands of years so that we could have a book that we can trust today. And they didn't know what they were doing back then. They didn't know that, hey, we're going to preserve this book for the generation and generations and generations and generations to come. They were just doing what God told them to do. And they knew that that book was important, and they knew that those words inside that book were real, and they wanted to write those things down. And so... that being said, if you've learned any type of Greek and Hebrew stuff, which is some of the stuff that we've been going over, if you've learned that stuff and you've learned any kind of facts about the Bible, you still have to come to the point where you don't deal with that stuff, you deal with the book you have in your hand. Okay? All that stuff is interesting, all that stuff is cool, and wow, you know, it's just, you know, the light comes on with certain different things. And it ain't because God gave you light from the Greek. It's because God gave you light from common sense. The Holy Spirit talked to you and told you something from this book. And you still have to come to the point where you ask yourself, all that stuff's cool and all that stuff's fine, but what about what I have in front of me now? What about this book? Whether it's a KJV, whether it's an NIV or an NASV or an RV or an RSV or any of the other 500 translations that have come out, you still have to ask yourself about the one you have. If you have an NIV, ask the Holy Spirit about it. If you have an RV, ask the Holy Spirit about it. If you have a KJV, ask the Holy Spirit about it. I mean, listen, I mean, we're, what do they call that? We're diversified is one of the words that I'm thinking of, but there's another one. We don't hold back. Hey, bring them all in here and let's take them all, lay them out right here and see which one's right. It's all right with me. I mean, that's how I did it. I said, Lord, is this thing right? And the Holy Spirit said, that's it. And I said, okay, then I can take these other ones and throw them in the trash can. And I got rid of them because I didn't need them anymore. I had one book to go by. And it's easy to sit down and listen to somebody talk about it. But at the end of the day, you have to believe what you have in front of you. That's it. And you either believe it or you don't believe it. So the question is, what do you put your faith in? What do you put your faith in? Do you put your faith in your own intellect? Anybody in here? Anybody here got a doctorate degree? Really? Anybody got a doctorate degree besides pastor? I know pastor's got one. Anybody else in here? Anybody got a master's degree? How many of you have bachelor's degrees? What do you have? Nursing? Is that like a bachelor's, master's, anything? Okay, bachelor's degree. Who has a bachelor's degree? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 4 people. Are we among scholars today? No. If we had people with doctorate degrees in here, would we be among scholars today? No. Or just people that spent a lot of money and went to school and flushed a lot of money down the toilet. So, what about a Greek or Hebrew scholar? You going to trust them? What about your pastor? You going to trust him? Now, that's not a trick question. Think about it. Why should you trust anybody? Why take your pastor's word for it? Dig in there and find it yourself. That's one of the things that people bash on Ruckman, and people say, well, Ruckman, he was a cult leader, and people just followed him. They followed him and followed him. You know what Peter Ruckman did to people that went through his school? And some of you have been to school, and you can verify this. He'd say, don't listen to me. Check it out. Check it out. You find somebody that is secure in the Bible, and they'll tell you every time, don't go out of here holding my banner. You go out of here and hold this banner. And you find it out. Find the information out. That's what I just got done telling you. It's out there, so find it out. So you need to learn what to put your faith in. So you either put your faith in a bunch of manuscripts that nobody's ever seen, or you put your faith in what you've got in front of you. It's still faith, right? We walk by what? Faith and not by, amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Your life has got to be a life of faith. You either trust that God preserved His words like He said He was going to do, okay? He's either telling you the truth or He's lying to you. There is no gray area here. He either told you the truth or He lied to you. Jesus Christ was either the Lord or He was a liar. There's only two options, see? And so you got to figure out what you're going to put your faith in. So the best thing to do when you're going into the Bible is to put your faith in something that is concrete. It never changes. Never changes. It stays the same no matter what. David said, forever, O Lord, what? Thy word is settled in heaven. Doesn't matter what happens. Don't put your trust in what man says about it. Man's appetites change on a daily basis. Man's feelings change on a daily basis. His opinions change on a daily basis. Remember, we talked about the fact that if you have some preconceived notions, then you're going to act that way. If you have some preconceived notions about what, this Greek manuscript is, then you're going to translate it the way that you feel that's best, see? So man's opinions and his feelings gets mixed up with everything. So you want something that's going to be concrete to be able to figure out what's going on. Now, Jesus said in John 5:31, He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Okay? So we're going to be liberals this morning for about the first 10 minutes. We're going to be liberals, and we're going to shuck the Bible off to the side. Okay? Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Okay? So the obvious Bible believer is going to say, well, bless God, let's see what the Bible says about it. And that's what we're going to do, but not right now. Okay, so let's shuck the Bible off to the side, because if the Bible bears witness of itself, then hey, in the same spirit and attitude of Jesus Christ, let's say, okay, well, It's not true. So let's take some other things about it, okay? Let's take a different way to look at it, okay? How many Bible believers are here this morning? You ought to be raising your hand right now. Amen. Me too. All right. So let's look at what some other people say about the Bible, okay? I'm gonna give you some of these things. And we're not going to... Never mind. I'll just read this to you. Dr. Edward Hills. Anybody know who Dr. Edward Hills is? Doctorate. He's a scholar. Dr. Edward Hills. He's a Presbyterian scholar. He says, the Bible is God's infallibly inspired word, which has been preserved by God's special providence down through the ages. Okay? It's all right. All right. Now keep in mind, we're not taking the Bible's witness of itself. We're taking other people's witnesses. Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Jesus says, don't believe me just because I said it. Let's take some other people. Let's look at what other people say about me. What did Peter say? Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. What did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. Well, two or three witnesses, there you go. So you can write it down. John Quincy Adams. How many of you know John? John Quincy Adams. All right, President of the United States. The first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible. I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the Scriptures. Pretty good, isn't it? Ulysses S. Grant. Everybody knows who Ulysses S. Grant. All right. Hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts in your hearts and practice them in your lives. Pretty good statement about the Bible, isn't it? Woodrow Wilson. Everybody knows who Woodrow Wilson is. It is the only guide of life which really leads the spirit in the way of peace and salvation. Pretty good saying, isn't it? So you say that stuff and everybody says, well, yeah, but those are people with Christian backgrounds. So they have some preconceived notions. Go ahead, brother. We'll have to get onto that later. So, so folks say, well, I mean, hey, I mean, these are quote, Christian people. I mean, their parents raised them to be Christians, so they have preconceived notions about the Bible. So they're obviously going to say something, all right, in that spirit. Let's take some statements of other people that aren't saved people. Napoleon Bonaparte, fine Christian man, right? Wonderful Christian man. Believed the Bible, told people about Jesus Christ. Great person, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. He's a wicked sinner. He's a murderer. Napoleon Bonaparte, the Bible is no mere book, but a living power that conquers all that oppose it. That's Napoleon Bonaparte that said that. That's his quote. That's no Christian influence in his life. So how'd he come up with that? Okay, I'm going to give you the quote and then tell you who it is afterwards. Okay, here we go. When you align yourself with God's purpose as described in the Scriptures, something special happens to your life. That's a true statement. When you align yourself with God's purpose as described in the Scriptures, something special happens to your life. For instance, you must be born again. If you align yourself with that statement and you become born again, something special happens in your life, doesn't it? That's a true statement. You know who said that? How many of you know a guy named Bono? Raise your hand if you know who Bono is. It should be about my... What's that? He's the lead singer, a lost, reprobated lead singer of a rock band called U2. That was in my era. Okay? That's a lost guy that says, if you do what the Scriptures tell you to do, you're going to be blessed. Well, that's a true statement, isn't it? The Wall Street Journal. Fine Christian, right-wing, conservative paper, right? Absolutely not. Yeah, go ahead and choke up here, bro. The Wall Street Journal. This is what they said about the Bible, and not just the Bible, but the King James Bible. To tamper with the King James Bible based on some imagined manuscript evidence is like adjusting Big Ben to somebody's wristwatch. How about that? Wall Street Journal published a statement and said to tamper with the King James Bible because of some supposed imaginative manuscript evidence is like trying to change Big Ben to match somebody's wristwatch. Anybody in here know where absolute time comes from? Anybody? Raise your hand. England. Comes from England. That's absolute time. Absolute. You want to know what time it is? Find out what time it is there and adjust your watch to go with that. because that's absolute time. That's what the world measures time off of. Comes right through England. That's where it comes from. So where does absolute truth come from? Comes from England. Absolute location comes from England. So absolute truth is going to come from... That's why I say we don't have an American Bible. We have an English Bible. Okay? Okay, so in the spirit of Jesus saying, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He also said in John 8:17, he said, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I think we've got more than two here, don't we? Right? And there's plenty more where that came from. There's plenty more. The Bible's got about 40 different authors. It was written on three different continents, and it was penned down over a period of about 1,800 years. That's a long time. And that thing is put together in perfection, and it agrees all over the place. Man, I mean, it's like a circle that just keeps going and going and going. That's no ordinary book. So, since we have more than a couple of witnesses, let's take what the Bible says about it. Because I said, you still have to believe what you have in your hand. Not Greek manuscripts and not Hebrew manuscripts and not some mythological stuff going on. You need to think about what you have in your hand. How many of you in here can read Greek? Can you read Greek? How many of you can speak Greek? Any dialect of it? Tess? You probably had some of it, didn't you? Did you have some down in Florida? Okay. So why would we waste our time worrying about what Greek says when we have an English Bible? Amen? How many of you read English? Amen. There you go. So let's stick with what the Bible says about the Bible. Matthew chapter 18 says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses let every word be established. So we got more than two witnesses, don't we? We've got lost people and saved people that said, that's the book. That's the book. You better get a hold of that book, okay? So let's find out what it says. I told you to go to 2 Timothy 3, right? 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse number 16. This will be the basis for the whole thing this morning. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Now we're talking about manuscript evidence and all the stuff that we dealt with. Now this is what sums it up right here. Right here. Let's shuck all that to the side and see what God says in His Word about His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The first phrase of verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible reads. Correct? Everybody got the same reading? All right. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, the common teaching by all modern scholars is that only the original Greek and Hebrew manuscripts were inspired by God, which is, I mean, they're making two false statements there, because only the originals were not. That's not the only ones that were given by inspiration. It's not inspired by God. We'll cover that in a second. They say, bless God, I believe the Bible's inspired. I don't. I don't believe the Bible's inspired at all. I believe the Bible was given by inspiration. Why do you say that? Because that's what it says. There's a difference in something being given by inspiration and being inspired. You know English pretty well. Are those different? Given by inspiration and inspired by God. That's different. It's different. Okay, so break the statement down. Number one, it's given. If you give somebody something, that's a gift. The book you have in your hand is a gift. That'll make you look at it differently from now on. That's a gift that was given to you by God. But it's not just a gift that, you know, we had to go out on Black Friday and fight the crowd to be able to get it. It's a gift that cost somebody their life. Matter of fact, it cost a lot of people their life. Torture. I mean, people were tortured for this book that we have here many years ago, see? So number one, it's given. It's a gift. It's given by who? The verse says it's given by inspiration of who? God. God's the one that gave you that gift. Is God an Indian giver? No, He's not going to give it to you and take it back. So, it's given, and it's given by God, and how was it given? It's given by inspiration. It wasn't inspired, okay? Brother Richardson can get up here and teach a lesson, and I can sit back there and listen to it and say, I'm inspired to go do something for Jesus now. Does that mean that he gave me something by inspiration? No. That's two different statements, okay? It's given by inspiration, and we'll talk about inspiration here shortly. Now, the common teaching is that the only thing that's been, quote, now we'll even go over to their side for just a second and say, the only thing that's given by inspiration is only the originals, which means, and they say it, everything you have today is nothing but a mere translation. It's just a translation. There's errors in all of them, they say. They're all, well, then why do you keep trying to make it better? If they're all going to have errors and the only ones that we can trust are the ones that we've never seen, then what? Then why mess with it, see? Okay, so so the question for us is what you have in your hand, Scripture. Do you have Scripture? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? So do you have Scripture in your hand? Is what you have in your hand given by inspiration of God? That's important. It needs to be given by inspiration of God. And thirdly, is it possible for you to have the Scripture? Can you have it today? Are you able to have it? You're in 2 Timothy. Go back to verse 14. So the question is, do you have Scriptures? That's important. You've got to know. You've got to know what you have. Verse 14, 2 Timothy 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Did Timothy have the Scriptures? Paul told him you had the Scriptures from a child. From a child you had the Scriptures, okay? If all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, was the stuff that Timothy had given by inspiration of God? Said he had the Scriptures. It's either right or it's wrong, right? Let's deal with some common sense this morning. It's either right or it's wrong. He either lied to Timothy or he told him the truth, one or the other. So Timothy had the Scriptures. So therefore, all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, what Timothy had was given by inspiration of God. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, Ethiopian eunuch, verse number 32. You've got this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch. He's in a chariot, and he's riding along the road. And the Bible says that he's got a copy of the book of Isaiah with him. He's got the book of Isaiah, verse number 32, Acts 8, 32. The place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Look at verse 35. So Philip shows up. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Did the Ethiopian eunuch have the Scripture? Sure he did. It says that he did. It says in verse 32, the place of the Scripture. It didn't say the place of the originals. It didn't say the place of his opinions. It says the place of the Scripture, which he read, was this. So did he have the Scriptures? He did. Is all Scripture given by inspiration of God? Now we're taking the testimony of what the Word of God says about itself. Is all Scripture given by inspiration of God? Then what the eunuch had in the chariot was given by inspiration of God because it's the Scripture, correct? All right, look in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Is it possible to have the Scriptures? Sure is. They had them. They had them. Acts chapter 17, verse number 10. Acts chapter 17, verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Talking about the Bereans. Did the Bereans have the Scriptures in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11? It says they did. Is all Scripture given by inspiration of God? Then what they had was given by inspiration of God. Okay? Acts chapter 17, verse 2. Okay, verse number 2. Here's Paul. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the originals. It doesn't say that. It says that he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Did Paul have the Scriptures? Is all Scripture given by inspiration of God? Anybody see a pattern here? Are you getting tired of hearing me say that? I'm going to keep saying it. Because there's people that will rob you of the Scriptures. and there's people that'll tell you, and if you're not grounded in the Scriptures, then you're going to be deceived and you're going to be messed up. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Verse number 28, talking about Apollos. Apollos. Verse number 28. Acts chapter 18, verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He had the Scriptures. And all Scriptures given by inspiration of God. So what he had was given by inspiration of God whenever he did that. That was in about, pastor's note on here says about 57, 58 A.D. Daniel, I'm just going to run through these real quick. Daniel had the Scriptures in chapter 10, verse 21. And you can, if you got something to write it down, then write it down because you're going to need it. Don't listen to me. Check it out. Daniel chapter 10, verse 21. Daniel had the Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, Jesus refers to the book of Psalms as Scriptures. In Mark chapter 15, verse 28, the book of Isaiah is said to be Scriptures. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, Jesus refers to Moses, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all of the prophets as Scriptures. John 7, 42, 2 Samuel is said to be Scripture. It says Scriptures, Scriptures, Scripture, the Scripture, Scripture. Okay? And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God based on the testimony of the Word of God about itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that Scripture, all through there, is given by inspiration of God. Do you have the Scriptures? Is it possible to have the Scriptures? Is what you have in your hand given by inspiration of God? You better believe it is. How'd you get saved from a dead book? How did you get life from a dead book? If there's no life given in this book, then how'd you get life? You got life from the author of life through the book of life, right here, because there's life in it. So the question is, do you have the Scriptures? Did all these people have the originals? Is there anybody in here that thinks that they had the actual copy that Isaiah wrote whenever the Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in his chariot? That was written in about 700 BC. 700 years prior to when the Ethiopian eunuch is sitting here, he's got this copy of the book of Isaiah. Okay? So, did he have the original that Isaiah wrote way back 700 years prior to that? How could he? How could he? Anybody want to answer that? How could he have it? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is reading from the same Scripture at the synagogue in Capernaum. So how did they have the same Scriptures? How did they have the same copy? How did it get from there to over here? It's a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy that a ready scribe sat down and penned out word for word. That's how they got it. That's how they got it. You can't have two things at the same place. Or you can't have one thing at two different places at the same time. So, is it possible for you to have the Scriptures? That's the question. Now, God gave you a promise of preservation in Psalm chapter 12, right? We went over that. And it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, isn't it? Psalm 118. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So it's a whole lot easier to just take the Bible for what it says than it is to believe in some unseen original. You realize how much faith that takes? My goodness gracious. You realize how much of a lack of common sense somebody has to believe something like that? I'm not being mean to you if you do believe that. I'm honestly not being mean to you. But if you're going to take the word of a scholar over what the Bible says about itself, then you have some problems. You have some problems. You're crippled too high for crutches. Amen. The elevator doesn't go the whole way to the top. You're a few bricks shy of a load, and there's plenty of other things we could say. There's something wrong with a person. And I don't say that out of a hateful spirit. I say that because there are people that are deceived that believe that, and these scholars keep them deceived because they're the final authority. The scholars are, and they like that. You know what that's called in the Bible? That's called a Pharisee. That's called a Pharisee. How many of you know who a guy named Diotrephes is? You know what Diotrephes' problem was? Somebody quoted. He loved the what? He loved the preeminence. He wants to be the man in charge. That's why he wouldn't let anybody else come into the church. That's why he kept them all out. They're a threat to me. if they come in here, then they're going to have more knowledge than me, and maybe people will look to them. He loved the preeminence, right? That's the problem. That's me. Everybody look at me because I want to be the one. The Pope, you know what his biggest problem is? He wants to be the preeminence. He wants to have the high seat. I think there's somebody in the Bible that said, I want to be like the Most High too, isn't there? Oh, yeah, how about that? So, do you have the Scriptures? Do you got them? If you have them, are they given by inspiration of God? They sure are. What does it mean to be given by inspiration? Now, you guys know this. Pastors taught this plenty of times. There's two different meanings for it. Both of them are true, and both of them are biblical. Both of them are. Webster says this right here. He says that inspiration is the act of breathing into anything. Inspiration is the act of breathing into anything. How many of you have ever heard that the word inspiration literally means God breathed? How many of you heard that? Okay, that's true. That's true. One of the definitions is the act of breathing into anything. The other one is this, the infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what Job talks about in Job 32. He says that just turn over there because I'm going to misquote it. Job 32. The inspiration of the Almighty hath given me understanding, I think is what he says. Job chapter 32. So take what the Bible says about inspiration, okay? Sola Scriptura is what it's called. Scripture only. Scripture with Scripture. Job 32, verse number 7. I said days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man, true statement, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Pastor Hoffman gets up here, he preaches to us, he teaches to us, and the Holy Spirit takes the ideas that he's putting forth, the truth that he's putting forth, and infuses them into our mind. That's understanding, that's inspiration. That's the Holy Spirit giving you understanding so that you can understand what you're reading, okay? That happens on a daily basis. If you spend any time in the Scriptures, you're going to have inspiration from God. If you spend time studying the Bible, you're going to be able to get something from God whenever you're reading through there and you say, oh, now I understand. You know what just happened? Inspiration from the Almighty just gave you understanding. You had a personal one-on-one visit with the Holy Spirit of God. The third part of the Godhead just came down to you and talked to you and said, here it is. Amen. Well, that's good, isn't it? When God comes down to you and talks to you and says, let me give you something. Okay? Now look in Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33. The word inspiration only shows up twice in the Bible. One's in Job 32 and the other one's in 2 Timothy 3. Job 33 says this. This is the other definition that Webster gives for it. Job 33, 4. The Spirit of God, capital S, hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Now that's the act of breathing into anything. In Genesis chapter 2, when God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's inspiration. God breathed into something and it became alive. In Ezekiel chapter 37, you got the valley of dry bones, a bunch of dead bones, just laying there doing nothing. No life, no nothing, no flesh, no nothing, just bones, just dry bones. And he says, awake, wind, and he says, blow from the north, blow so on and so forth, and breathe upon these bones, breathe upon these slain that they may live. And what happens? The wind blows. Well, what's the wind a type of in the book of John? The Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit of God breathes on those bones, and what happens? They became a great, mighty, exceeding army. They became alive. Right? It became alive. So, when you get a hold of something like what you've got in your lap, these different authors, over a period of 1,800 years, they sit down and they write these things out, and they write these things out, and this guy has no idea who this guy is. And he doesn't know that what he's writing is going to agree with something that's written 1,000 years later, but he writes it anyway because God says, write that down. And God leads him and guides him and gives him inspiration, understanding. And the Holy Spirit meets with him just like he meets with you when you sit down and spend time in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit comes into his bedroom. The Holy Spirit comes into his living room, at his coffee table, into his dining room, into his kitchen, into his car, into his chariot when he's driving down the road to work. And the Holy Spirit gives you something, and he writes it down. You see that? And then over the period of about 1,800 years, this thing gets put together. And you know what, God? So there's two acts of inspiration that are going on. The Holy Spirit is giving them inspiration while they write. And while they dictate, and the scribe writes it down, that's inspiration, the understanding. And after it's over with, and everything, the crowning work shows up, and all this stuff gets done, God grabs a hold of that book, and he breathes on it. And you know what happens? Bless your soul, just as sure as I'm standing here, it becomes alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's quick. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. That's why when you read it, you get life from a live book. That's why when you read it, God gives you light and the Holy Spirit gives you understanding and inspiration, and you say, oh, I see now. That's why it's called a light and a lamp, because the darkness flees away and you have understanding from the light. Amen? All right. Let's look a little bit further here. 1 Thessalonians. We've got time to hit maybe one or two more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, I told you before this thing ever started, I'm not a scholar. I'm not giving you stuff that I've spent hours and hours of blood, sweat, and tears to dig and find out so I can be some scholar. I'm spoiled rotten. And I've been given this stuff. Over 20 years I've been given this stuff. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 12. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in what? Truth. Truth. The word of God. So it's truth, isn't it? Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay? Thy word is truth. So Paul says back in 50-something A.D. that the word of God was truth. It was truth back then, and it's still truth today. The scriptures are still true. They're still there. They're still there. I already made this question. How many of you are saved? Saved in here. Amen. How'd you get saved from a dead book? You either got the scriptures or you don't got the scriptures. So the question is, do you have the scriptures? How many of you got the scriptures today? Don't just raise your hand because, yeah, I don't want to be left out here. I don't want somebody to think that I don't believe this stuff. How many of you believe you don't have the scriptures? I'm not going to, you know, pick you out. You either got them or you don't. It's either black or it's white. He either lied or he told you the truth. The scriptures bear witness of the scriptures, about the scriptures. You see how that circle just keeps going and going and going and going and going? Most of the guys that wrote, I told you there was almost 40 different authors of the Bible. And most of them, when they talk about the Bible, a lot of them talk about not just the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is mentioned a bunch throughout the Bible. The Word of the Lord, the Word of God, the thus saith the word of the Lord, so on and so forth. But a lot of them talk about the words, each word. Every word of God, Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him, so on and so forth. Every word, not just one or two words, every word. Matthew 4, I think, is verse 4. Is it verse 4? It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by how many words? But by every original? No. Every word of God. But by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. The words, it's the words. Now this whole study we've went through for about the past 3 weeks here has, you know, the first couple of weeks was a preamble for this one. This is the crowning work right here. Because all that stuff means nothing if you don't believe what you got in your hand. It means nothing. Did you have to know that to understand that you have the Bible today and that what you have is Scripture? Absolutely not. then why'd you show it to us? So you can understand when these people come to you, these scholars come to you, and they start filling your mouth or filling your head with a bunch of gas, you can say, no, wait a minute, you're wrong. Because you have a corrupt Bible from a corrupt set of manuscripts that's been infiltrated by the Catholic Church for years upon years upon years. That's why your Bible reads that way. And that's why my Bible reads this way. And that's why mine's right and yours is wrong. Your Pope says he's the final authority. These people say that this book is the final authority. And God is the final authority, right? Any questions? Any questions at all? Okay. Nothing? You all look so enthused right now. Okay, I think Brother Richardson, are you going to be teaching next week, or is Brother Martin? Who's got the first round? You? Okay, Brother Richards is going to be teaching for a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, and right. I got me, brother. Thursday night. Oh, you mean whenever he's gone? Oh, I don't know. I really have no idea. I'm sure he'll probably ask somebody. All right, no questions? All right, Brother Richardson is going to be taking the next couple of weeks. After that, Brother Martin is going to be taking a couple of weeks, and they're going to be swapping back and forth for a while doing that. So, no questions. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the time. We love you. Thank you for this book, and thank you for giving us something we can trust. In Jesus' name, amen.